don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap and wake up and you're 25. Then your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink, you just might miss your babies growing like mine did, turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, you better have a 50 years is there in bed. Praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think. So don't blink. So I've been trying to slow it down. I've been trying to take it easy. In this here today, gone tomorrow world we're living in. So don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap and you wake up and you're 25. Then your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. You just might miss your babies growing like mine did, turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, you better have a 50 years is there in bed. And you're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think. So don't blink. No, don't. Life goes faster than you think.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The House this weekend passing a foreign aid bill that supports Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
The long-stalled foreign aid legislation finally made its way to a vote on Saturday. The House passing a massive $95 billion foreign aid package. Now that the bills have passed in the House, the Senate will begin consideration of this foreign aid package on Tuesday. Allison Kosick, ABC News, New York.
A tragic car crash in Monroe County, Michigan has left two children dead and one person in custody. Police arrested the 66-year-old driver on suspicion of operating a vehicle while intoxicated, causing death. The threat of severe thunderstorms forcing former President Trump to cancel a Saturday night rally in North Carolina. Trump promising he'll be back soon, but sooner than that, he'll be back in a New York City courtroom as opening statements begin in his criminal hush money trial on Monday. This is ABC News. Pro-Palestinian protesters on Columbia University's campus not deterred by the arrest of more than 100 demonstrators on Thursday. ABC's Anthony Carlo is at the Manhattan campus.
Protesters outside Columbia University returned Saturday to lend their support to the students on campus who continue a sit-in with their sleeping bags and books. Layla Saliba says she noticed something in the group ever since police were called in by the university Thursday.
The mass arrests and the suppression of students, I would say that's galvanized us.
Protesters were charged with trespassing for refusing to leave the space in violation of school rules, and suspensions were handed out.
More than 50,000 runners taking part in today's London Marathon. Olympic champion Kenyan runner Peres Jepchirchir won the women's race in a nail-biter between the top four female runners while making a final sprint for the finish line. Breaks a world record. 2 hours, 16 minutes, 16 seconds. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the four-day super sale, April 19th through the 22nd, and get 40% off paints and stains with prices starting at $26.69. That means 40% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And, of course, get 40% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The good folks at Wendy's have a revolutionary new product for you. Introducing the new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. It's like a time machine that takes you all the way back to now, the year 2024. It's the classic, creamy, orangey flavor you remember. Dare I say, it's new timey. It's the flavor you grew up with, just all grown up. Head over to your local Wendy's establishment and get yours while supplies last. The new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Here for the now, for now.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's.
Planning for retirement and your family's future should not keep you up at night. I'm Tyler Schroyer of Heike Wealth Management. From Roth IRAs and 401k rollovers to life insurance needs and purchasing CDs, I strive to add value to your financial and retirement picture. Visit HeikeWealthManagement.com or stop at my office on 3rd Avenue West in Durand to schedule an appointment. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance offered through Heike Wealth Management, LLC, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Freezing conditions early. We'll see sunny skies, lower 60s in the afternoon, a northwest breeze. Clear skies, mid-30s overnight as our wind turns to the south. That'll bring in warmer temperatures Monday. Some showers, increasing clouds and breezy in upper 60s. Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 800-281-8193. Right now it's 34.
Real Country. Real Country. 1430 AM, 107.3 FM.
County Road 233 under my feet. Nothing on this wide rock but a little old me. I got 2 miles till he makes bill. And if I'm right, we're headed straight for you. I'm going home, gonna load my shotgun, wait by the door and buy a cigarette. He wants a fire, well now he's got one, and he ain't seen me crazy yet. Slapped my face and shook me like a rag doll. Don't that sound like a real man? I'm gonna show him what a little girl's made of. Gunpowder and lead. Well, it's 10:30. Another six pack in. I can feel the rumble like a cold black wind. It pulls in the drive, gravel flies. He don't know what's waiting here this time. My gun's bigger. He'll find out when I pull the trigger.
Gunpowder and Lead, Miranda Lambert on your radio there. Hi, how's it going? I'm Andrew J. Great to have you in on your Sunday morning. Jordan Davis, Tucson, Too Late.
I didn't know if we were over or just on the rise. Was me thinking I could save us, just a mirage. I was burning up a highway that kept getting longer. With every turn of these tires, she just kept getting goner. And the sky was showing no signs of rain. Ain't nothing to lay in that plane.
I'm racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. And it's 7:47, somewhere between here and heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone, guess I got to Tucson too late. I wonder if she sat there stirring vodka with a straw. Was she counting down the seconds? Or maybe having second thoughts and was moving all made up in her mind? Would she have changed it if she knew that I was racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet? And it's 7:47, somewhere between here and heaven knows I let her slip away. Showed up and she's gone, guess I got to Tucson today. Ooh. Now she's on some silver wings flying, and me, I'm on the bad side of good time, yeah. I'm racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. It's 7:47, somewhere between here and heaven. Heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone. Guess I waited too long, like a sad country song. Damn, I got to Tucson too late. Oh, I got the Tucson too late.
Keeping advertising dollars local. We're Real Country. 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
It's Friday night, baby, get ready, set, go. Gonna take you to the Crystal and a picture show. Well, the sky's the limit, there's no price too high. Baby, you're the apple of my eye. Got my paycheck in my pocket and some gas in the tank. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank. I wish I had a bass boat and a Z28. But I guess that stuff will have to wait. Cause I'm saving on a washer and a wedding ring. I want this love to be a lasting thing. Right at the top, but that's where you rank. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank. A crazy dream. I met a man who invented a money machine. He said, I know things are tight and times are tough, but he'd give me the machine if I give you up. I just looked him in the eye and I said, no thanks. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank.
We got you covered. From Delta Dawn to Dixie on My Mind. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Hang up that red dress, let down your hair, cancel those reservations, there's no need to go nowhere. As good as you're looking right now, girl, I bet you're thinking I'm crazy. There's a side of you that I want to see that never ceases to amaze me. Give me that girl with her hair in a mess, sleepy little smile with her head on my chest. That's the you that I like best. Give me that girl. Give me that girl loving up on me. Old t-shirt and a pair of jeans. That's the you I wanna see. Give me that girl. Give me the girl that's beautiful, without a trace of makeup on, barefoot in the kitchen, singing her favorite song, dancing around like a fool, starring in her own little show. Give me the girl that the rest of the world ain't lucky enough to know. Give me that girl with her hair in a mess, sleepy little smile with her head on my chest. That's the you that I like best. Give me that girl. Give me that girl loving up on me. Old t-shirt and a pair of jeans. That's the you I wanna see. Give me that girl. Give me that. Sleepy little smile with her head on my chest. That's the you that I like best. Give me that girl. Give me that girl loving up on me. Old t-shirt and a pair of jeans. That's the you I wanna see. Give me that.
Give me that girl. That is Joe Nichols. How's it going? I'm Andrew J. Welcome. Hope you're having a great weekend so far. Thank you for making me a part of it. You stick around. Going to dig up the classic from Randy Travis for you in a bit. Got Chase Beckham coming your way, too.
Shaw's Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shaw's customers have come to know and trust. Shaw's offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shaw's is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shaw's Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shaw's Gas, downtown Durand.
Have you done anything to feel whole today? Did you get moving? Did you stay connected? Did you gift yourself a moment of peace? No matter what helps you feel whole, Advent Health is here to support you with world-class expertise and whole person care to keep you healthy and happy in body, mind, and spirit for your whole life. Feeling whole always begins at AdventHealth.com.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optimus Tax Professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts. Until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchise or SPD LLC.
Attention landowners. Got big plans for your land? Tackle all your spring projects with a powerful John Deere machine. And now with 0% APR for 72 months on select compact tractors, riding lawnmowers, and Gator utility vehicles, plus up to $2,000 off select compact tractors. It's never been easier to get in the sea. Offer available April 1st through 30th. Visit johndeere.com to find your local dealer. For complete finance details, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Real Country.
Simple as my mama said when I was very young. She told me not to worry, son, one day you'll be someone. But here I am at 21, as loaded as a stagecoach shotgun. I'm sorry, mama, please don't look at me. When I got to Oklahoma, I was 17. My papa taught me how to work, and Lord, he was mean. Working all day in that August heat, and he taught me how to fish. My uncle taught me how to drink. Well, I went to California, and I had me a band. And we played in all the bars in all the southern lands. We played all night, and we drank for free, all of my boys and me. Now I'm 23 and there ain't nobody who can drink like me. Soon I'll be 24 and the Lord knows that I can't drink no more. I know I should have taken it slow. It's not the way that my life goes. Now I know. When you're passed out, oh, sober by 24. Well, I had a girl love me the whole damn time. And I drink my whiskey and she drink wine. Soon my bottle was too much to company. Yeah, we'd sit on the river and we'd fish all day. And we'd drive across the country, let the radio play. 7 damn years, I never thought she'd leave. Now I'm 23 and there ain't nobody who can drink like me. Soon I'll be 24 and the Lord knows that I can't drink no more. I know I should have taken it slow. It's not the way. Pass out on the floor, you're sober by 24. Simple as my mama said when I was very young. She told me not to worry, son, one day you'll be someone. But here I am at 21, as loaded as a stagecoach shotgun. I'm sorry, mama, please don't look at me.
Suppose I called you up tonight and told you that I love you. And suppose I said I want to come back home. And suppose I cried and said I think I've finally learned my lesson. And I'm tired of spending all my time alone. If I told you that I realize you're all I ever wanted, and it's killing me to be so far away, would you tell me that you love me too? And would we cry together? Or would you simply laugh at me and say, I told you so. Someday you'd come crawling back and asking me to take you in. I told you so, but you had to go. And now I found somebody new, and you will never break my heart in two. If I got down on my knees and told you I was yours forever, would you get down on yours too and take my hand? Would we get that old time feeling? Would we laugh and talk for hours the way we did when our love first began? Would you tell me that you've missed me too, and that you've been so lonely, and you've waited for the day that I return, and we'd live in love forever, and that I'm your one and only? Or would you say the tables finally turned? Would you say I told you so? So I told you someday you'd come crawling back and asking me to take you in. I told you so, but you had to go. And now I found somebody my heart into again. And now I found somebody new, and you will never break my heart into again.
The country music you grew up with. Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Girl, I know I don't know you, but your pretty little eyes so blue are pulling me in. Like the moon on your skin. I'm so glad you trusted me to slide up on this dusty seat and let your hair down and get out of town. Got the stars coming out over my hood, and all I know now is it's going good. You got your hands up, you're rocking in my truck. You got the radio on, you're singing every song. I'm set on cruise control, I'm slowly losing hope of everything I've got. You're looking so damn hot, and I don't know the morning when it comes, 'cause I know that the rising sun ain't no good for me, 'cause you'll have to leave. Gonna make the most of every mile, do anything to make your smile land on my lips, get drunk on your kiss. Clock on the dash says 3:35. There's plenty of gas and the night's still alive. You got your hands up, you're rocking in my truck. You got the radio on, you're singing every song. I'm set on cruise control, I'm slowly losing hope of everything I've got. You're looking so damn hot.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Welcome to our WRDN radio audience as you join us here at First Baptist of Durand. We are now moving from our worship service into the teaching of God's Word, and we're looking at John chapter 2 this morning. John chapter 2. And I will read verses 1 through 11 out loud. If you have a Bible, grab it, follow along, because that's where we'll be. Verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Father, as a teacher of your word, I pray for help to accurately handle the word of life. I pray that, Lord, as we discuss this controversial subject of alcohol in the Bible, that you would give us illumination, and that what is said and our conclusions are based on thus saith the Lord. Thank you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, from your outline, as we see in our introduction, we want to look at 4 things that the Bible does say about wine or alcohol in the Scriptures. And we're going to examine this topic by asking and answering four questions. So that's your outline right there. And for the first question is, how did people use wine or alcohol in the Bible? And there are some good uses. As we are honest with the text, we will see that it was used in a positive way. One was for health purposes. Clean water was an issue in Bible times. Some communities, some large cities, like the church at Laodicea, had a underground aqueduct that would bring water into the city. And it was not very good. And it was tepid. And you would not want to drink it. And if you remember Jesus' message to the church at Laodicea, they were lukewarm. He says, I'd like to spit you out of my mouth, thinking of the water that the people at Laodicea drank. Not every village had fresh springs. Not every village had a fresh water supply. So it was discovered, or it was just a given, that if people who drank fermented juice were much healthier many times than those that drank from polluted water that their community offered. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23 is a Bible verse you've read before. I just want to quote it. Drink no longer water, Paul said to Timothy, but use a little wine, oinos, for thy stomach's sake and for thine often infirmities. So it was used for health reasons. We also know in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 6, it says, give strong wine unto him that is ready to die. And that was wine that was mixed with myrrh. It was like a narcotic. And it was given to those that were in a great deal of pain and were ready to leave this life. If you remember when Jesus was on the cross, they offered him some sour wine. He didn't take it, did he? No, it had a narcotic in it. It had a stupefying effect. He was going to suffer consciously every bit of the wrath of God for our sins. That's why he refused that. So it was used. There were health reasons. Number two, wine was offered as part of the Old Testament sacrifices. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 40, in the daily and evening sacrifice offered in the temple, along with the lamb, along with the flour, and along with the oil that was presented to the Lord, a fourth part of a hin of wine was to accompany the sacrifice for a drink offering. That is a quart of wine in the morning and a quart of wine in the evening, when that lamb would be offered in the morning and when that lamb would be offered in the evening. It was part of the Old Testament sacrifice. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 13, and celebrating the feast of Pentecost, the people were to bring their offerings accompanied with the drink offering of wine, the text says. In Numbers chapter 15, the children of Israel were instructed when they entered the land of Canaan to bring their burnt offerings and freewill offerings, presenting them to God with a hin or a quart of wine for a drink offering. So wine was used as a part of temple worship. Number three, how else was it used in a positive way? It was used as an evidence, a token of God's blessing. You read that in the Bible. If we're honest with the text, we have to say that is the way it is described in the Bible. Genesis chapter 27, when Jacob blessed his son Isaac on his dying bed, he said, He said to Jacob, therefore God give thee, Jacob, of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Amos chapter 9, verse 14 says, God promises the people when the Messiah comes, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. In Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15, God brings forth food out of the earth, the text says, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Wine was a special evidence of God's blessing on his people. Another positive way in which we look at wine is presented in the Bible. It was part of joyous occasions that Israel celebrated. Do you remember in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 when David brought up the ark to Jerusalem? And it was a great, great festive event. In verse 2 and 3 it says, "He blessed," that is David, "he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon, a container of wine." That's how he sent them off after celebrating that joyous event. And then we just looked at John chapter 2 with the wedding at Cana in Galilee. Wine was part of a festive occasion. So we have, just touching on this, and we're going very fast here, four positive ways in which wine is presented in the Bible: for health reasons, temple sacrifices, special evidence of God's blessing, and part of joyous occasions that the people would celebrate from time to time. So those are four significant events, and wine was a part of that. Okay? Now, what's the bad? A bad use for that? Well, I think we all understand what that would be. Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with," what? "Wine, but be filled with the Spirit." Drunkenness is the bad use. All right, I'm going to make a statement here. The Bible does not forbid the drinking of wine, but it does forbid drunkenness. All right? Some examples of drunkenness in the Bible, they're always bad. Noah became drunk after the flood in Genesis chapter 9. Lot became drunk after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and committed incest with his two daughters in Genesis 19. Elah, king of the 10 tribes of the north, became drunk and was murdered by Zimri, one of the officers in his army. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 36, it says, "Nabal got drunk after refusing David and his men help." And the next day the Bible says he was very drunk, but he died of a stroke. In Daniel chapter 5, in the midst of the king of Babylon's drunken party, remember that Belshazzar had for all his nobles, officers, the handwriting on the wall? That very night, Babylon fell to the Persians. Isaiah 28, verse 1, the prophet speaks to the drunkards of Ephraim. Drinking was a problem there, even in the Holy Land. And then we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the people in Corinth had a problem with drunkenness. And they desecrated, according to 1 Corinthians 11, some of them, the Lord's table, because they came inebriated, or became inebriated there. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, "Drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God." A drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom. That doesn't mean if you get drunk, you lose your salvation. But it does mean that if you habitually drink and drink and drink, you have good reason to ask, "Do I have a relationship with God?" Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, something else very important about this. Drunkenness was associated with pagan religions. It was associated with pagan religions. Dionysius was the Greek god of, guess what? Wine. Bacchus was the Roman god of wine. And their advocates said the way you commune with your god, Dionysius, the way you commune with your god, Bacchus, is by getting drunk. And your level of consciousness would be elevated so you could commune with your god. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21, he says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils," demons, idols. "You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of demons." Now, we are told we are to commune with God not by drink, but by being filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians 6:17 again, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, being drunk is a manifestation of the old way of life. Some of you got saved when you were young, and praise the Lord for that. And don't ever, ever, ever envy anybody that has gone through the world and has soiled himself and has partake of a lot of things that sound glamorous in a testimony. Just thank the Lord that you haven't gone through that. But drunkenness is a part of that old life that we used to live. Romans 13:14 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in drunkenness. Galatians 5:21 says, the works of the flesh are spelled out. Among them are envies, murders, and drunkenness. And so the Bible warns against drunkenness. And people would ask, well, what does the word drunk mean? And drunkenness may be defined as any point in which alcohol takes over any part of you, your body, your mind, your spirit. Drunkenness may be defined as any point in which alcohol takes part of you. Now, there's all kinds of drunkenness. Drunkenness has its degrees. And I don't know where your fine line is. It's not the same for everybody. But wherever you yield control of any part of your mind, body, or spirit to that alcohol, that becomes drunkenness. And that is forbidden in the Bible. So how is it used in the Bible? We looked at four positive ways, and we looked at one negative way. Big, big negative, right? Right. Now, the next question we want to ask ourselves is, what are some of the words used to describe, in the word describe is for fill in the blank there. What are some of the words used to describe the fruit of the vine? There are 8 different Hebrew words in the Old Testament, and there are 3 different Greek words in the New Testament for it. Quite a variety. Now, I have a quote there in your study sheet, and it says, because of the climate, the juice squeezed from the grapes would begin to ferment within hours if left outside. And you'll see beside that quote, it says ISBE. And my wife said to me, what is ISBE? ISBE is an acronym for an International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. All right, it's a classic work. But this is what they have said. Now, I want to give you a couple of these words, not all 11 of them, but they are found there in your concordance as you look back in your Hebrew dictionary, as you look back in your Greek dictionary. That one Hebrew word is yayin, and yayin is a mixed wine, and that's how the 1901 Jewish Encyclopedia translates it. Or defines it. And the Jews ought to know something about their own language and their own culture. Another is tyrosh, and is sometimes translated new wine. Hosea 4:11 says, whoredom, immorality, and wine, yayin, and new wine, teresh, take away the heart. You know, it's hard to get interested in God when you're looking at someone else's wife. It's hard to get interested in God when you're taking in alcohol and taking in alcohol, the things of God, as the songwriter said, they're not very lucid to you. Another word for alcohol in the Bible is shikar, and it's a strong drink. And Psalm 69:12, the psalmist states, I was the song of the drinkers of shikar, or the drunkards. And then moving into the New Testament, we already mentioned the word oinos. It's used there in John chapter 2 at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Jesus turned the water into oinos, wine, and that can refer to a fermented beverage or to an unfermented beverage. If you recall, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as Peter and others were speaking the word of God, there were mockers in the crowd, and they said, "These men are drunk, and they're full of new wine. Even new wine can ferment that quickly." And Peter said, "No, they're not, but they're telling you about the Most High God." Another word in the New Testament for wine is glykos. We get our word glucose from it, a sugar-based liquid. Another is sakera, an unmixed straight wine. So these words describe what the beverage that would be made out of the grape juice. And again, because of the climate being warm, and if it was set out, it would ferment within a matter of time. Now, after the fermentation, depending on how the vintner or the winemaker planned to use or sell the drink, he would add ingredients. Primarily water, if it was going to be used for common sake. There would be other stronger drinks that the vintner could make, and he would add honey, spices, herbs, even myrrh, which would be a stupefying drink, bitter tasting. The third question we want to ask ourselves, was the alcoholic content different than what is sold today? Was the alcoholic content different than what is sold today? Some of you know this already. I won't ask for a show of hands if you do. But in our day, the alcoholic content of some beverages is measured by the term proof. Proof is about twice the percentage of alcohol in a liquid. For example, 90 proof whiskey contains about 45% alcohol. Brandy, which is classified as 40 proof, contains about 20% alcohol. Scotch and rye are classified as 80 proof or contain about 40% alcohol. Beer sold today averages about 4% alcohol. Wine sold today has an 8 to 14% amount of alcohol. The Alcohol Council of America states a beverage has to have a minimum of 3.2% alcohol to be classified as an alcoholic beverage. 3.2. Now, the average content of the common wine people drank in the Bible was 20 to 1. Or 2 to 2.5% alcohol. A much, much lower alcohol content than any of the beers, than any of the wines, or any of the hard liquor that people drink today. So to get drunk on 2 or 2.5% mixture of fermented grape drink, you've got to drink a lot of liquid. And you'd be spending a lot of time in the bathroom, giving your bladder a break. So what are we saying here? You can't defend your use of the alcohol sold today on the basis that people drank wine in the Bible. The alcoholic content was vastly different. The common drink, fermented, 20 to 1 mixture, 2 to 2.5%. Beer today is 4%. Wine today, 9 to 14%. And of course, hard liquor is much, much higher. So Roman numeral number 4 in our study here. I want us to consider this. How am I to decide? How am I to decide if I should drink? All right. I already said the Bible doesn't forbid drinking wine, does it? It was such a part of the culture for health reasons, for worship. It was a token of God's blessing. But how should I decide? There's four questions we want to ask ourselves. Number one is, does the deed or activity match who I am in Christ? Does the deed or activity match who I am in Christ? You know, in the Old Testament, the priest was forbidden to drink wine or strong drink when he served in the tabernacle or later in the temple. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. He couldn't, no drink. It was a high standard that God had established for the spiritual leaders. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Each one of us are counted as a priest unto God, a representative of God here on earth, and a representative of the people that we see to our God who is in heaven. So the first question we need to ask about deciding if I should drink is, does the deed or activity match who I am in Christ? You are a representative of God. Number two, is the deed or activity habit forming? Is the deed or activity habit forming? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, there are things you can partake of, but they're not the best. And sometimes they can be addicting, and they can have a disastrous effect. Within the last 3 years, I have lost two cousins. One was so inebriated, he fell down the steps and he broke his neck. The other was so inebriated, he vomited and he choked on his vomit. I don't mean to be crass, but I'm saying it's not just cirrhosis of the liver that people die of because of alcohol. So we need to ask ourselves, is the deed or activity habit forming? Number three, will it cause someone else to stumble? Will that deed or activity cause someone else to stumble? Romans chapter 14, verse 21 says, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak." Will it cause someone to see my example? And parents, I want to say this. Maybe you can have a beer in your refrigerator and you think nothing of it, but you've got some kids that are watching you. And kids will always accentuate, for the most part, the weaknesses of mom or dad. It's okay for dad. It's okay for mom. Me, they'll take it and they'll run with it. Think about the example. And then, number four, does it glorify God? Number four, does it glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So we have covered a lot of material in a very short period of time right here this morning. But there's, under our conclusions right here, we have two questions. Is social drinking acceptable today? And we would have to say, man, if you watch football, if you watch basketball, if you watch any amount of TV, you would say, our culture accepts that. They say yes. But using the Bible, we'd have to ask ourselves, is social drinking wise? It's dangerous. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that the counterpart to our problems is found not in a bottle, but in a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, if someone's listening to my voice this morning and they do have a problem with alcohol, I pray that they'd not give up hope. I pray that they would continue to look for an avenue of escape. I pray that they would not let it continue to dominate their life. And I pray that they would find that strength that can come only through Jesus Christ, to lick that habit. There are many that have. And Lord, I pray that if someone is listening this morning who has not yet met the Lord, that they would seek him and not only receive forgiveness of sins and not only receive peace and not only receive a promise of a place in heaven, but they would also receive, Lord, power and strength to overcome this debilitating habit. Thank you for the clarity of your word. Help us to handle it accurately, uprightly, and reverently. Help us never, never, never to abuse the privileges that you give to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the